Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Thank you and good afternoon. A very basic study regarding religion has to do with the inspiration of the Bible. The authority in Christianity is not an external organization nor system of ceremonies or philosophy. It is not a vague system of human inquiry. The Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible is our authority in religion. This consists of a definite system of facts, doctrines, commandments, promises. Upon this solid rock, our faith is built. We cannot ignore the heritage of our forefathers, nor forget the testimony of those who have lived and died for Christ. We cannot discard altogether our own experiences as Christians. We have tested the goodness of God. But in the final analysis, all this is meaningless if the Bible is not inspired. And so we ask this afternoon, is the Bible inspired of God? An uninspired Bible, friends, would be a very poor guide for men in religion. Is the Bible inspired is really a question of whether we are following God or man. Is our religion of human or divine origin? An uninspired Bible would certainly have these defects. One, an uninspired Bible would give no infallible standard of truth. All the defects and mistakes of its authors would become ours together with our own mistakes. Every man would become his own authority. Furthermore, an uninspired Bible would give no authoritative ground for obedience or, for that matter, of everlasting hope. Its commands would become only suggestions. Its assurances of everlasting life would only be an idle dream and a fond desire of the writers. And furthermore, an uninspired Bible would not cultivate a quiet and a humble spirit, but it would appeal to pride and reason. Men would become critics of the Bible instead of letting the Bible be a critic of man. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And modernism reverses this process and attempts to make the thoughts and the intents of man's heart a critic of the Word of God. So we must not overstate the case. Inspiration is not essential to the historical credibility of the Scriptures. The facts of the Bible are established on historical grounds. Jesus of Nazareth lived, He died, He arose again, and these facts are established from a historical standpoint. We can sympathize with honest doubt, especially in young people who are maybe assailed by a campaign to discredit the Scriptures. But what shall we say of those who refuse to investigate the firm historical grounds upon which the Bible really rests? All professed Christians agree that the Bible came from God. Why then is there any argument among us as to its inspiration? Why does some question whether or not it is the inspired truth? Perhaps there are many reasons for this. Some say, one, a misconception of what inspiration is and the evidence that support it. And two, presuppositions and assumptions are hostile to any supernatural fact. And then a faulty interpretation of particular passages of the Bible has bearing on the subject. And a novice of the study of inspiration may adopt an extreme viewpoint which he cannot defend, and when driven from it, find no secure stopping place short of infidelity. Then on the other hand, a kind-hearted, open-thinking man is striving to get along with those who are losing their faith in inspiration, yet he may surrender the citadel to the enemy. So the question before us this afternoon is very simply, in what sense is the Bible God's Word? Is it divinely breathed out? What do we mean by inspiration? And again, I suggest that our question does not concern the genuineness of the Scriptures. That's a question of authorship, of whether the men who are reputed to have written the Bible actually did so. And again, the question of inspiration does not deal with textual criticism of the integrity of the Scriptures. That is a question of whether or not our Bible is the same as the original, or whether we have a faithful translation and copy of the sacred word. We do not deal in this study this afternoon with higher criticism, which is a study of the style, the mode of thought, and the expression of the different writers by which the age and culture and circumstances may be discovered. And again, our problem is not one of authenticity, which concerns the historical truthfulness of the Scriptures. Did the events really occur? So this is not our problem. Nor are we dealing with the canon of the Scriptures when we discuss inspiration. The canon has to do with which books belong in the Bible. Certain books are doubtless true which do not belong in the sacred canon because they are not inspired. We do not discuss our rule of faith in talking about inspiration. That is, whether the Bible is a sufficient guide in all matters of religion, although that is important. This discussion on inspiration does not deal with the evidences for Christianity. There's a great body of evidence in many fields to show that the Bible is the truth, at least to lead people to believe it. And that's not our question. Our question is, in what sense is the Bible God's Word? Is the Bible a message from God? And if so, in what sense? To what degree is it the Word of God? We need to keep in mind that the Bible is both of human and divine origin. A document may be given from God so as to exclude all human authorship, as when the Decalogue was given by God and all the people heard God directly, as is expressed in Exodus 20, verse 19 and 20. The Bible is God's Word throughout, and yet it is man's Word throughout. It is not of man as to its source, and it does not depend on man as to its authority, but it is by man as to the medium. Yet it has not come through man as water runs through a pipeline, but through man as an agent, voluntarily active and intelligent in its communication. The Bible is both all human and all divine. It is 100% a human production, and yet it is 100% a divine production. From Genesis to Revelation, it bears the stamp of humans being involved in writing it. At the same time, it's 100% a divine production. It bears unmistakable evidence of its divine origin. The best statement of what we mean by inspiration is found in 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The men did the speaking, but God gave the impulse. There is no other book like the Bible, just as there is no other person like Christ. Christ was both human and divine at the same time. He was human, a human being clothed in human flesh, subject to the same temptations and desires as all of us experience. At the same time, he was the divine Son of God. Likewise, our Bible is both human and divine at the same time. And could not an all-powerful God leave men free to select their own words, utilize their own backgrounds, their own education and training, and yet so supervise the book as to have it free from error, and it be a perfect production? Now, a man may receive revelation from God without being inspired, and he may be inspired to write something which he did not receive as a revelation. The multitudes who heard Christ speak received a revelation from God, but they were not inspired. The people who had heard God speak to Moses received a revelation, but they were not inspired. God spoke to Joshua in a dream, telling him to take the child Jesus into Egypt, but there is no evidence that Joseph was inspired. Many inspired men wrote under inspiration things which they knew without revelation. Luke, no doubt, knew of the letter of Claudius Lysias that's referred to in Acts 23, verse 26. He could know that without any revelation from God. He, no doubt, knew that Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. And he could know that without it being a revelation from God. But he was inspired to write these facts. Paul was brokenhearted for his Jewish brethren. He did not have to have a direct revelation from God to learn this, but he was inspired of God to write about this. Revelation is the process of God communicating truth to men. Inspiration is the process by which God guides men in writing the truth. Now, there are several different views of inspiration. The principal one is, first, mechanical inspiration. We would know that more as dictation. That's the idea that God selected and dictated every word of the Bible as a man dictates to a stenographer. Another view of inspiration is partial inspiration. That is, that the Bible is inspired as to its doctrines, as to its ideas and ideals. This makes every man his own God and his own devil to decide what is God's word and what is not. And then there's degrees of inspiration. It is contended by some that various parts of the Bible are inspired, some to one degree and some to another. And then there's the idea of natural inspiration. That's the idea that certain people are by nature inspired while others are not. Then the fifth idea is universal inspiration. That's the idea that all men are inspired, more or less. And then there's the last idea, and that is plenary or verbal inspiration, full inspiration. It's the idea that all the Bible is God's Word, that it is infallible truth and of divine authority. It's the idea that the Bible is at the same time human and divine. That human beings wrote every word of it, but that the Holy Spirit so guided and directed these men that they wrote exactly what God wanted them to write without any errors or mistakes. And friends, this is the view that I am contending for in this study. That is, a verbal inspiration of the Word of God. And I invite you to tune in tomorrow when we will discuss further this subject of verbal inspiration. That we take the Bible as being God's Word, that it contains God's instructions on what man must do to be saved. That is, he must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24. That he must repent of his sins, Luke 13, 3. That he must confess the name of Christ, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And that he must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, verse 16. Have you allowed the Bible to God guide you to becoming God's child? Or as an erring child of God, will you take God's Word and let it lead you back to God? Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.